This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabi al-kareem. So in today's session, we're going to look at the importance of rahmah, of compassion in da'wah. And this is a very crucial and important topic related to the da'wah. It's mentioned specifically in the same verse that we discussed in the video before this. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idati hasana. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and compassionate preaching, gentle preaching. So, wisdom and gentleness are listed in this verse as the two conditions for da'wah. In our previous video, we discussed what is wisdom and more importantly, what is unwise in the da'wah. In this video, we want to look at what is compassion and how do you become compassionate and how should that compassion manifest in your da'wah. So, compassion, rahmah, also known as mercy, is a condition of the heart. It is part of akhlaq, of character. It is the condition of the heart where you genuinely care about others. That is what rahmah or compassion is. That you genuinely care about other people and you want what is best for them. And your da'wah comes from a place of wanting what is best for others. That you love for others what you love for yourself. This is the essence of rahmah, that you love for others what you love for yourself. For some people, their da'wah comes from a place of arrogance, of feeling superior to others, that I am better than you, so I'm calling you to a better way. Now the way is better, yes, but you shouldn't be thinking of yourself as better than others. That is arrogance. And for some people, the da'wah comes from a place of spite and bitterness, that I don't like you, so I'm going to preach to you. But for the believer, the da'wah should come from a place of genuinely wanting what is best for others. If you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he genuinely cared about his people and wanted them to embrace the message so that they could avoid the hellfire and enter into paradise. And this genuine care for others, you can see it in his interactions with almost everyone. That there's a genuine desire to see this person save their souls from the hellfire. That is where the da'wah needs to come from. A genuine sense of compassion and care for others. And this shows itself in how we speak, in how we interact with people, in how we treat them. All of this is a reflection of whether we are truly compassionate or not. Now, in our times, there has been a group of Muslims who have tried to demonize this concept of compassion. They have turned it into a slur, calling imams compassionate imams and trying to put them down. Right? And the way that they justify this in their minds is they're saying, oh, we're not demonizing compassion. We're calling out the extreme compassion of these imams. Whatever you think you're doing when you're using this term, it's still inappropriate. Because the word compassion, which is the English translation of rahmah, is an Islamic concept. It is even in the names of Allah, ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim, are reflections of His compassion, His mercy. Even in the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to the universe. And when you demonize this concept, you are also creating an environment where the opposite of compassion can thrive. What is the opposite of compassion? It is hate, it is malice, it is wanting ill for others. It's not being able to see the humanity in others and treat them well. This is the opposite of compassion. And this is what we're seeing is now rising amongst those specifically people who like to use this term compassionate imam in a derogatory sense, unfortunately, their hearts have become deprived of any compassion towards their brothers and sisters in Islam. And they start to talk in the most vulgar of ways of other Muslims. And they have completely lost the sense of brotherhood because they view compassion as a weakness. They view compassion as a bad thing. Now, this is very problematic. As Muslims, we should never try to demonize a term that is fundamental to our religion. You may think you've been clever by making this the slur against your opponents, but really, you are changing the religion. You are changing the religion by making compassion out to be a bad thing and hostility out to be a good thing. This is changing some fundamentals of Islamic akhlaq. Now, they would answer that some imams have gone to extremes in compassion and they're trying to rein that in. And my response would be, even if someone's gone to extremes in anything, that doesn't give you the right to demonize the word itself. And yes, there is some truth to this. There is some truth to the fact that in the past 20 years, some imams did become over flowery in how they explain and teach Islam. But that does not justify taking an Islamic word like compassion and turning it into a slur against the imams. Rather, we should call people towards Islamic compassion. The correct way to correct them would be to say that the default of a Muslim should be compassion, but there are times where we need to be firm, so we need to just rein it in a little bit. A very polite correction. You don't need to be demonizing the whole concept because a few people took it to an extreme. So if you are someone who is accustomed to using this term to demonize people, just think about this, right? Take some time to think about what I just said, because this is creating a very unhealthy environment in the da'wah, where now anyone who is compassionate is seen as weak or deviant or a sellout, and people who are hostile and vulgar are seen as the real du'at, which is really the complete opposite of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So we have a group today who do da'wah without any compassion. Their da'wah is simply to score points, to put people down, to make themselves feel superior to others. And they are harsh, they are vulgar, they use the worst of names, they mock people, they slander people, and they literally look at compassion as some kind of weakness. And their hearts have no compassion, so you can't even reason with them or talk to them, because their hearts have become hard. Yet they think they are doing good. They think that what they are doing is the da'wah. No, it is not da'wah to be hard-hearted and vulgar towards your fellow Muslims. That is not da'wah. That is not the way of the Anbiya or the great du'at throughout our history. On the other extreme, we have some people who need to rein in their compassion a little bit, right? And what I mean by this is, look, when you're doing da'wah, you have to be honest about what Islam teaches. And some people are dishonest because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. Right? So sometimes you see this in how they talk to non-Muslims. Like, for example, if certain criminal laws of Islam are brought up, they'll say, oh, but you know, that's not really part of Islam. It's not that big a deal. It's not something we do anymore. Well, and they take a very over-apologetic approach, thinking that this is compassion. This is not compassion. Compassion is not changing the religion or hiding the facts about the religion. Compassion is just in your treatment of people. It shouldn't affect the message itself. We also see this today in specifically issues related to the responsibilities of Muslim women. Right? So, 20 years ago, we had the opposite extreme, where Muslim women were complaining that lectures are only about the rights of the husband and the responsibilities of the wives. And so some imams flipped the script and it became all about the rights of the wives and the responsibilities of the husband. And some of these imams are scared to speak about the responsibilities of women because they don't want to lose their female audience. That if they had to be honest about what Islam teaches in terms of a wife's responsibilities towards her husband or her children, they may lose their fans who have a feminist leaning. And this is problematic because you are now changing the religion. You are now distorting the religion. And you are creating unrealistic expectations in the younger generation of Muslim women. And the balanced approach there would be to talk about both the rights of men and the rights of women, the responsibilities of men and the responsibilities of women, and to be honest and just about what Islam says on these topics. There's nothing wrong with what Islam teaches on these topics. It is the most practical system, the most natural system that works. Yet some people are afraid to talk about it. Some people are afraid to talk about the obligation of hijab for the same reason, right? To tell Muslim women to dress appropriately. Some men are afraid to talk about this because they're bought into this Western idea that only women should correct women. No, that's not an Islamic concept, right? The Quran says in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believing men and the believing woman are awliya of each other. They command what is good and they forbid what is evil. Meaning Muslim men and women are supposed to help each other to be righteous by commanding what is good and forbidding what is evil. This is part of compassion. That you don't want your Muslim brother or sister to be committing haram unknowingly. So you remind them about the commands of Allah. Because there are some Muslim women who don't even know that it's obligatory for them to cover their hair. Because no one talks about these things because they're afraid of hurting people's feelings. So they end up with a wrong understanding of the religion. So this is taking compassion to an extreme. I agree with that. This is incorrect application of compassion. It doesn't give you the right to demonize the word. It doesn't give you the right to turn the term into a slur and to just label anyone you dislike with it. No. Rahmah, compassion is an integral part of our religion. It's an integral part of the da'wah, and it should be an integral part of the personality of an imam. Every imam should be a compassionate imam. They should care about their congregation. They should care about people. They should be preaching from a place of genuine love and care for people. That is part of our religion. Just because some people have taken it to an extreme doesn't give you the right to demonize the whole idea. So we need to stop using these words in a derogatory sense, because in doing so, we are changing a fundamental of our religion. And the Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah, when compassion is added to something, it becomes beautiful. And when harshness is added to something, it becomes ugly. Think about this, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, when compassion, when gentleness, when mercy is put into something, it becomes beautiful. And when harshness is put into something, it becomes ugly. And as Muslims, we have to understand that our default setting should be rahmah. And we should only be harsh when necessary. It's not to say we should never be harsh, but we should only be harsh when it's necessary. And there are times when it is necessary. But understand that if you are harsh all the time, your akhlaq, your character becomes ugly. And that reflects in your face, and that reflects in your personality, and that reflects in your actions. But when your heart is full of compassion, then people can see the beauty of your soul. And it reflects in your actions, it reflects in your work, it reflects in your words, it reflects in your effects on other people. The Prophet ﷺ also said, Ar-Rahman, rather, Ar-Rahimuna, Arhamur. Ar-Rahimuna, Arhamuhur Rahman. Yarhamuhu Rahman, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhu Rahman. That those who have compassion, Ar-Rahman will show them compassion. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamuka man fis sama. So be compassionate to the creatures of this earth, and the one who is above the heavens will be compassionate to you. Now what's interesting about this hadith is that it is the tradition of many schools of thought and many madrasas around the world to begin the Islamic studies training program with this hadith. That the first thing you learn in your journey to become a scholar of Islam is be compassionate to the creatures of the earth, Allah will be compassionate to you. And so from day one, we are taught that our da'wah must be grounded in compassion, and that this is a divine necessity for the da'i, that Allah demands that we be compassionate, and that there is a special reward for this, that Ar-Rahman will be compassionate to you. And many of the scholars have explained, the hadith doesn't even say be compassionate to the Muslims. It says be compassionate to everything on earth, not even the human beings. The compassion of a real Muslim extends to all creatures, the birds, the cats, the plants. There should be a genuine care for the creation of Allah that emanates from the heart of the believers. And this should guide our da'wah, and this itself will be da'wah. If you have a compassionate heart, your heart itself will be da'wah to other people. That people will be attracted to being around someone who genuinely cares about humanity. And there are so many verses of the Quran and hadith about compassion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ala Imran about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is by the grace of Allah that you are compassionate to them. Had you been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have run away from you. So the scholars comment on this verse and they say that Allah is saying that it is through His mercy that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful and compassionate. But He also said that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a harsh prophet, if he was a hard-hearted prophet, if he was a strict and scary and you know, harsh individual, then the Sahaba would have run away from him. And what this means is that if the best of generations would have run away from Islam because of the harshness of the caller, then what about us today? That if we are overtly harsh all the time, do we not think that we are chasing people away? And I see this happening a lot online, that some zealous young brothers who are full of, you know, enthusiasm for the da'wah, they go online and they are extremely harsh to people. And in their harshness, they just chase people away. And they feel that they are being firm on the religion and that they are, you know, taking a stance for the truth. But in reality, their choice of words, their vulgarness, their harshness, their bullying tactics, it's chasing people away from the religion. You can be firm on the principles of Islam while still being nice to people. I don't know why it's so hard for people to understand this. You can be firm on the principles of Islam and the message of Islam while still being nice to people. Why can't we just learn to do this? Learn to do da'wah from a place of compassion, from a place of husnul dhan, of assuming the best of others. An example of how people go wrong with this today. Sometimes a young sister would go online and she may make some statements about Islam that are incorrect. And immediately some young men, in their harshness and their zeal, they will pounce on her and call her a feminist and call her a deviant and call her a kafir and just completely chase her away from the religion. While in reality, firstly, that's not the Islamic approach to da'wah, even if she's completely wrong in what she's saying. She could have just been raised with a wrong understanding of Islam. It could be that nobody taught her any better, that's what she learned from her teachers. How is it her fault? You should correct her with wisdom. You should correct her with gentleness. You should let her know that I understand that this is what you have learned, but this is incorrect because of this hadith and this verse of the Quran and this teaching of Islam. Correct the person with compassion. I'm not saying to tell somebody they are right. I'm saying just to have a bit of manners and empathy in how you talk to people. That goes a long way. Instead of just labeling people and chasing them away and bullying them, actually have a genuine conversation with them. And this is a problem. This is a major problem in the online da'wah scene. Many young men, to feel all manly and to feel like they are it and like they are special, they have this macho personality of just being harsh to people and bullying people, and this does not help the da'wah in any way. And again, I'm not calling for the opposite. I'm not calling for telling people you're right. I'm not calling for hiding the message. No, I'm simply saying you can stand for the truth and still be nice about it. And even when you're being firm, you don't have to bully people and call people names and chase them out of the religion. No, you can be firm and still be a magnet towards the religion in how you talk to people. This requires wisdom and this requires empathy. It requires rahmah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the story of Musa alayhi salam. And when he gives the message to Musa alayhi salam to go and do da'wah to the Pharaoh, he tells him, وَقُولُ لَهُ قَوْلُ اللَّيِّنِ, speak to him gently, so perhaps he may reflect and fear Allah. Perhaps he may reflect or fear Allah. The scholars again comment on this verse and say that if Musa, one of the best of humanity, was told to speak gently to the Pharaoh, who was the worst of humanity, when doing da'wah to him, then the default in how we do da'wah to people who are not on the same level as the Pharaoh is it should begin from a place of gentleness. So what about our Muslim brothers and sisters? How much more gentle are we supposed to be with them when calling them towards the correct understanding of Islam if they have misunderstandings? And there's a story related to this, that one of the great kings of the Abbasid Empire, he said something or did something wrong. So one of the scholars corrected him very harshly. So he mentioned this verse and he told the scholar that I am not worse than the Pharaoh and you are not better than Moses. So if Moses was told to speak gently to the Pharaoh, you also have to speak gently to me. And this is a lesson for all of us. The person you're speaking to who may have misunderstandings about the religion, who may have been misinformed about the religion, they are not necessarily bad people. They need education, not bullying. And this is where the compassion comes in, that you need to do da'wah, you need to call to the way of Allah with wisdom and gentle preaching. You call to the proper, firm message of Islam in a wise manner, in a gentle manner. That is a fundamental of doing da'wah. Compassion, besides caring for others, it also means understanding people's weaknesses, understanding people's personal struggles, understanding that everyone is different in terms of what they struggle with, whether it's intellectually or in terms of their desires, and being able to connect with people and not expect perfection from people. So you may be doing da'wah to one person and that person may be addicted to a sin. It's not your place to judge them for their addiction. It's your place to guide them to a better way. And if it's not possible for them to give up their addiction, then to at least teach them the path of istighfar, of seeking Allah's forgiveness. The da'i should always be focused on giving people a way back to Allah. Right? I'm going to repeat that point. Anyone who is calling to Islam, whether you are speaking to Muslims or non-Muslims, you should always be giving people a way back to Allah. You should not be speaking in a way that you are telling people that this is it, it's over, you're going to hell. Right? You should not be making people lose hope in the mercy of Allah. You should be showing them the way back. If they have fallen into misunderstandings, show them the correct understanding. If they have fallen into sin, explain to them why the sin is wrong and guide them to the path of Tawbah, the path of repentance. If they have a wrong understanding of who God is, show them the correct understanding of who their Creator is. But all of this has to come from a place of rahmah. It should never be that you cancel people in a way that there is no way for them to come back to the straight path. This is problematic and this is un-Islamic, and this is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how he did da'wah. Look at some of the great Sahaba, Khalid ibn Walid and Amr ibn al-As are two great examples of this. That these two Sahaba were for many years leaders of the enemies of Islam. It was Amr who went to the court of Najashi to try and get the Muslims sent back to Makkah. It was Khalid ibn Walid that led the army that killed many Muslims at Uhud. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to preach towards them with compassion. And so did the Sahaba. They continued to call both of them towards Islam and to show them that the doors of Allah's mercy and forgiveness are always open. And right towards the end, Khalid ibn Walid receives a letter from his brother, in which his brother, who was already a Muslim, tells him that the Prophet is asking about you and saying, how can an intelligent man like Khalid not recognize the truth of Islam yet? Again, look at the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid ibn Walid's army was responsible for killing some of his most beloved Sahaba, yet he still recognizes the intelligence of Khalid and calls him towards Islam. And so when Khalid and Amr eventually go together to Medina to accept Islam, Amr makes the condition, he says, O Rasulullah, I'll accept Islam on condition that Allah forgives me for whatever I've done in the past. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when you accept Islam, automatically whatever you've done in the past is forgiven. But still he insisted on the condition because he knew just what he had actually done before Islam in terms of the harm he had brought upon the Muslims. But again, look at the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at his compassion at the conquest of Makkah, where he could have justifiably taken revenge on the people of Makkah. Yet, very few people were executed that day. Just a handful of criminals received the death penalty that day. As for the rest of Makkah, he forgave them, and they eventually accepted Islam. And in terms of the time and place in which he lived and the cultural norms of the place in which he lived, he would have been completely justified if he took some level of revenge on them. But he allowed his rahmah to be the dominant factor in his da'wah. And this is what everyone involved in da'wah needs to do. Our rahmah needs to be the dominant factor in our da'wah. So my final point for today is, how do you gain rahmah? Some of you may say that, you know, I have a hard heart. I'm not someone who cares about other people too much. How do I gain that care for others? How do I gain rahmah? How do I become a merciful person, a compassionate person? Well, there are many things. Number one, it begins with the heart. Focus on the purification of the soul. Focus on reforming your heart. Focus on learning to love for others what you love for yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you truly believes until he loves for others what he loves for himself. This is the foundation of rahmah. Compassion and care for others begins with loving for others what you love for yourself. You love Islam, spread the word of Islam. You love to worship Allah, spread towards others this enthusiasm to worship Allah. You need to love for others what you love for yourself. And this genuine love for others, you build it by being part of society, by spending time with people, by understanding them, by sympathizing with them, learning about their struggles, learning about their doubts, learning about their weaknesses, humanizing them, getting to see the human being on the other side. So you can understand where they are coming from, what experiences shaped their current beliefs and ideas, so that you can understand who they are and you can reach across and call them to a better way. You should seek to understand others before preaching to them, or else your message flies past them. That they may be in a specific situation because of their life experiences, but you are talking past that because you never took time to know the person. For example, you know, nowadays we assume if we see somebody is an atheist, some people assume that they're atheist because of science, or, you know, they believe that science is what we use for justifying what is true and what is not. And you may go onto a whole, you know, dawah call about how Islam is compatible with science. That's a different topic for a different time. But it may be that that person is an atheist because of some traumatic life experiences that they couldn't explain. And I found this to be the case most of the time. The people who lose faith in God, it's not because of anything to do with science. Most of the time, it's to do with traumatic experiences that they can't explain. They lost a loved one. They lost their job. They were homeless. You know, something happened to them, traumatizing. They lived through a war that caused them to lose faith in God. Now, if you understand the life experiences that led to their belief, you are in a better position to do da'wah to them. Because now you know what to focus on. You can focus on the Islamic concept of God, the Islamic concept of life being a test. They may not have even heard of this concept of life being a test. And this can help them to make sense of what has happened and see a path back to worshipping Allah and understanding why the world is the way it is. But if we don't take the time to know people and to understand people and to understand how they got to where they are, then you are going to be speaking past them instead of speaking to them. So number one, work on your heart. Work on purifying your soul of hostility and bitterness and all negative feelings. Number two, get to know people. Seek to understand people so that you are in a better position to do da'wah to them. A third method of improving the compassion in your heart is to do acts of kindness. Sadaqah. Sadaqah, which we often translate as charity, actually is any good deed, any act of kindness. Kullu ma'arufin sadaqah. Anything good you do for somebody else is an act of kindness. It's a sadaqah, it's a charity. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us that every day we should be involved in some kind of act of charity. And once a companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained about this very thing. He said, "Oh Rasulullah, my heart is becoming hard." And the Prophet ﷺ advised him to spend time with orphans. Why with orphans? Because nothing softens a human being's heart faster than spending time around children who don't even have parents, who have been deprived of the most basic of blessings. Nothing can soften your heart faster than being around orphans. So spend time doing acts of kindness. Volunteer. Get involved in humanitarian work. Go and help out the poor physically. Don't just do anonymous donations online. Physically get involved in helping other people. When you do this, then you will develop a more compassionate heart. So these are three steps to reconfiguring your heart to be compassionate. Number one is to love for others what you love for yourself. Number two is to get to know people and to understand them so you can relate to them and talk to them on their level. Number three is to do acts of kindness, because nothing softens the heart faster than doing acts of kindness. And if we do all of this, then inshallah we will develop hearts that are full of rahmah. And this rahmah will manifest itself in how we behave, our body language, our facial expressions, and how we talk. And when you do da'wah from a position of rahmah and you add wisdom to that, then your da'wah becomes very powerful. Now it can reach hearts and it can change the hearts of people, because you're no longer an arrogant preacher who's just talking to score points or talking to boost his own ego. You're now someone who genuinely cares about the other person and wants them to go to paradise. And so you will preach to them in a way that they understand, so they can come back to the straight path. And I want to end with a reminder that while rahmah is the default, it's also important and part of wisdom to know when to be harsh and when to be firm. So rahmah, compassion, should be our default. That's how we normally interact with everyone. But there are times where you have to be firm. There are times where you have to take a stand. There may be times when you have to talk to someone harshly. But this should never be the norm. This should not be your default setting. Your default setting is that you are a kind-hearted person who cares about others. But at the same time, people can't bully you. They can't take advantage of you. Because they know that if you need to be firm, you will be firm. If you need to be harsh, you will be harsh. And so, when dealing with the enemies of Islam, who are actively trying to harm the Muslims, that's a time to be firm and harsh. If you are in a war, you have to be firm and harsh towards your enemies. If you are dealing with people who don't understand kindness, you get some people out there with whom kindness just doesn't work. They just don't understand kindness. Their hearts are too hard. You may have to be firmer when talking to people like that. But this is where the wisdom comes in. So our da'wah must be done with wisdom and gentle preaching. And part of wisdom is to know when not to be gentle. But the default should be rahmah. The default should be compassion and gentleness. And if we make this our default, then we will do our da'wah in a way that is sunnah, in a way that is pleasing to Allah, in a way that has barakah, and a way that is most effective. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ